Welcome to the Cody Catch-Up Podcast. In this sixth news episode, we're going to be talking about something awesome, the Bootstrap 4 release. Now, before you get too excited, it's actually just the first alpha, but it's pretty exciting. So basically, it's been released. The date it was released was the 19th of August, so this news is a little bit trailing. But it was also the release coincided with its fourth birthday, which is pretty exciting. So the fourth version came out on its fourth birthday. Pretty awesome. So the extract from this is Bootstrap 4 has been a massive undertaking that touches nearly every line of code. We're stoked to share it with you and hear your feedback. We've got a lot of news to share with you, so let's jump right into it. So the information I've got here is from the article, the blog post that they've got, which I'll have a link in the show notes, but it's at blog.getbootstrap.com, as well as just playing around with the existing or the new docs that they've got and some of the new code. So what's changed? So there's been over 1,100 commits and over 120,000 lines of code changed in version 4 so far. And this is the very first alpha release, so a lot's been going on under the hood. So the major changes. Now, this was tweeted about a while ago that they were going to move from LESS to SAS, and they've done that, and they're using LibSAS. So LibSAS is like the C compiled version of SAS. The next thing is they've improved the grid system, and that also includes an opt-in to Flexbox support for your grid. So if you want to use Flexbox, you can opt in. It's just simply setting a variable in your SAS, and that will enable the support for Flexbox. They've also dropped wells, thumbnails, and panels in place of cards. Now, cards have kind of become the thing to use on the web. You've probably noticed this a lot, like Facebook, for example, Twitter, etc. There's a lot of cards, Pinterest, this card-style interface, and it works quite well. You'd see it all through Google's new framework or semi-new framework. If you're looking at Material Light, that's the new framework, but the rest of the material design stuff they've done, there's a lot of cards there. They've also consolidated all the HTML resets into a new module called Reboot. So instead of using your standard CSS resets, they've got their own one. So essentially, they say it steps in where normalize, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, it stops, and it gives more opinionated resets that we use these days. So for example, box sizing using border box, so we can kind of use our padding on the inside and not affect the element's width. So if you weren't using that, if you did, say, width 100% and you did your padding 20 pixels all around, you'd actually get 100% of width on an item plus 40 pixels in the width. So having the border box in the box sizing set, that allows you to do width 100% and do the padding from the inside, which is very handy when you're doing any kind of front-end layouts. The next thing they've done is they've dropped IE8 support. No dramas there, I don't think, for anyone. If you do still need IE8 support, you can just go back to Bootstrap 3, or optionally, I suppose you could just serve up a different style sheet altogether. But really, you know, IE11, you know, Edge is out. There's no real point to really even think about supporting IE8 these days. They've also, they've moved to REM and M units. So if you're using pixel-based units for a lot of your selectors, your sizing, you're best to move away from that. So M's is the preferred as well as REM's. So REM's are relative M units. If you don't know too much about that, I'd suggest just reading up on it. But essentially, M's really do make things easier. I'm trying to make sure that I do this more often myself. I can say I still use a lot of pixel-based widths and sizing. But yeah, M's and especially REM's do make a huge difference. REMS is something that Foundation has been doing for a long time, and it really makes a lot of difference if you check out the Foundation framework. They also rewrote all their JavaScript plugins. So you know that Bootstrap has a lot of really, really nice plugins, at least for coming with a framework. So they've been rewritten to take ES6, so they're taking advantage of all that niceness out of ES6 in JavaScript. And they also come now with the UMD support, as well as generic teardown methods, option type checking, and lots of other stuff there. They've improved the auto placement of tooltips and popovers. So when you mouse over a certain section, a little tooltip might come up, or more, you want something a bit more, you'd use a popover. So they've been improved. The docs have been improved too. The docs are really good so far. There's still a lot more to come, but they're doing a really good job with that. They've actually rewritten it in Markdown, which is quite nice. And they're also looking to do some better search on that, which I think is really awesome. Personally, I use Dash, so I can kind of search the docs myself very easily. But this is certainly going to be a big step for anyone who uses getbootstrap.com for the docs. And there's tons more that they're doing. So they're doing all like custom form controls, margin and padding classes, which that can be really handy in itself. Lots of new utility classes and more. So that's really, really exciting. So if you're ready to jump in on what's already there, there's a version 4 Slack channel that they've got. So there's a link to that in the blog post if you want to join the Slack room, start getting on board. I mean, it's pretty good so far. Like, I was quite surprised on how good the alpha actually is. I'm quite surprised. But, you know, if you want to live life on the edge and jump in, definitely get into the Slack channel, because I think it will save your bacon at some times, as well as give you the option to be more involved in the project and help push it forward and maybe get it released sooner. So, yeah, check it out. Now, you're probably thinking, well, what about version 3? Now, version 2, they just killed support for when version 3 came out, and it kind of just fell by the wayside, but they're not going to do that with version 3. So, hooray. So, I'm sure a lot of people will have a ton of projects that need version 3. So, they're going to be, it's still going to be maintained, essentially. They'll fix critical bugs and documentation improvements and things like that, but not massively over the top, but it's still going to be supported, which is good. So once version 4 gets released, the docs will still be available, and they will just fix any of those major bugs. And the last thing, but definitely not the least, they've actually released themes. Now, I think there's only 3 at the time, or at this point in time, but they've got paid themes. I think they're around about $100, but they're very, very good themes. So instead of your other Bootstrap theme providers, these are very, very, very well done. I was quite surprised. So I think the price tag is definitely worth what you're actually buying. Anyway, that's essentially it. If you're pretty excited about this, like I know I am, where I work, we've settled on Bootstrap 3 for the foundation for a lot of our client apps and client websites. It just makes it easy to standardize on some kind of framework like this. And the ability where you can prototype something really quick, it becomes really, really handy. So I'd love to know what your thoughts are on Bootstrap. You know, if you're happy with the move from Less to SaaS, maybe you're like, well, should have gone to Post CSS first. I know there was hints of that they'll go to SaaS then Post CSS. Who knows? But I'm personally at this point in time, I like the move to SaaS. Everyone seems to be going to SaaS instead of Less. So I'm pretty happy about that. But if you have any thoughts, experiences, if you've jumped on and played around with it or started even using it in production, if you're one of those crazy cutting edge people, I'd love to hear about it. So please do leave a tweet at CodaCatchUp or leave a comment on CodaCatchUp.com. And if you do have any time, please share the show around, leave a review in iTunes and leave a rating. I'd really appreciate that just to get some more visibility into the podcast. It's going great so far. So, you know, let's just try and go to 11 on the podcast and see how far we can take it. Anyway, that's it, and we'll catch you at the next episode.